Welcoming to Jackson Share Sports Radio is Duke alum, former NBA player, Chris Duhon. Chris was 6'1", 190 pounds, and he grew up in Louisiana attending Salmon High School in Slidell, Louisiana. So Chris was this is a long list, so here, stick with me. Chris was a McDonald's All-American, 2001 ACC Freshman of the Year, and a national champion under Coach K in 2001 with Duke University. Duhon finished with, this is crazy stats, Duke's all-time leader in steals, 300 steals, I'm reading, and you finished with minutes played, 4,800 minutes played, which is unbelievable. And then second, as one of the most winningest players in Duke history behind Shane Battier, which is unbelievable. I mean, and you were a finalist for like awards like the Naismith Award, which is a really big deal. Huge player, great guy. And not to mention, you coached at Illinois State and Marshall under people like Dan D'Antoni. And you finished off your career, went to the NBA. This is just not even including the NBA. You're NBA, and now you're working at Primerica as a business and financial coach. Chris, I know it's a long intro, but welcome to Jackson Share Sports Radio.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course, man. Totally. So, Chris, take me through your journey, your career, and, you know, I pride myself on giving my audience, you know, exposure to people's dedication to the game and what work, hard work is required to get to the point where you're at today.
Growing up, basically I played, every sport, basketball, football, baseball, ran track. Probably to my freshman year, I just decided to stick with basketball. It was kind of between basketball and football. I was not 190 then, and I was a lot skinnier, so I broke my collarbone. So that kind of made the decision for me. I just stuck with it. As a freshman in high school, we had seven seniors. I just continued to work hard and compete. And by the middle of the year, I was starting, as a freshman as my high school. And
wow.
At that time, I knew that's what I wanted to do, and dedicated my time going to basketball camps and practicing in the front yard, playing at the park, just constantly just playing basketball. That's kind of the only thing that I did. I just continued to get better watching the game and learning, as much as possible. And, my body caught up with like athleticism and, things like that, things just kind of took off. And, I just kind of continued to keep competing and try to get better and, be the best player I could possibly be.
What a story. And I mean, you really were competing. Let's put it that way. You competed in college, you competed in the NBA. It's an incredible journey that you've had, an incredible career. And, before we get into all that stuff, your NBA career, college, describe to me and my listeners and me, what your job description is at Primerica and what exactly you do on a typical daily basis. You wake up, what do you do? What does your day look like?
Yeah. So, right now, just basically kind of like what you mentioned of, financial coach, our goal was to help educate people how finance works, give families the opportunity to win the money game that probably, haven't got the education or didn't understand, how money works. So, we teach them that way, help them set up a plan to be financially independent when they decide to retire. And then we also offer opportunities for people to earn additional income or maybe a possible career change. So we're always looking to recruit, hire, at the same time. My day now, the great thing about it is, it's flexible time. I have five kids, so it's, flexibility is important for me. But I usually, I'm up 5:30, go to the gym about 5:30, get back around, 6:30, shower, get the kids ready for school. Once they're in school, I kind of, the night before, I kind of already set up my schedule as far as what the plan of the day is. So just checking up on numbers, seeing how many meetings I have, checking up with teammates, seeing if I can help in that aspect. And then pretty much just going on meetings throughout the whole day with either, you know, potential clients or people that, you know, I end up eventually hiring and joining the company. So, it's, you know, we work basically about, you know, 6 days a week. But again, you kind of set your own schedule.
Yeah. And I mean, you said 5 a.m. Like, that's that's incredible. Do you ever get sleep, man? That is incredible.
It's tough, but I mean, it's kind of, you know, I've been doing it for years. You know, that's just kind of how, you know, when playing basketball and things like that, you know, especially when you get on the college level, you know, people learn that, you know, lifting weights and sprint workouts are usually early in the morning before you start your first class. So it's kind of been embedded in me for a long time now. So I'm used to it.
100%. So what would you describe, you know, as your strengths and weaknesses as a coach, you know, as you were coaching at Marshall and then at Illinois State, and now you're actually a financial coach. How would you describe yourself as a coach? Where can you improve? And what have you done amazing?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, my strengths are, you know, being able to, you know, especially in the basketball court, just kind of see the game in a whole, see 2 to 3 steps ahead of kind of what's going on, or, you know, trying to anticipate, you know, what's going to happen. Strategies, always, you know, looking at strengths and weaknesses of my opponents, strengths and weaknesses of our team to, you know, obviously for us to get better as a team, but also to have an advantage when, you know, going against, you know, another opponent. I think the weaknesses is that sometimes I get a little ahead of myself, that people can't see the game as fast as I can see it. So it sometimes frustrates me. So I have to do a better job of teaching, you know, a little bit better, you know, really breaking it down, you know, not assuming that, you know, each player knows everything, because it came so easy for me that you sometimes have to, you know, just break it down to the basics, right? So, you know, that's kind of, you know, what I have to do better as a coach, is really, you know, going in, making sure that I really break every single thing down, just because I may think it's something that you should know. Everyone doesn't know it. So I have to, you know, be aware of that and do a better job of teaching it.
Exactly. Just because, I mean, you definitely know. I mean, you've got the experience. You 100% know. It's just a matter of if you can translate that to your players.
Yeah.
And make sure they comprehend. Exactly. Make sure they comprehend what you're saying.
Yeah.
So kind of segueing now into your Duke career, and then we can go to the NBA part. What was your career like at Duke? I mean, you won a 2001 national championship. I don't think a lot of people could say that. You know, they can't say that they won a national championship, where you were put in your place in place of Carlos Boozer when he got injured. Just an incredible run. Take me through it, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once I got there, you know, you talked about a team that's already have a culture and, you know, the already belief system that, you know, winning the national championship was our goal. And that's how we prepared. Like, you know, the off season, we trained really, really hard. We competed, we pushed each other. And I think the thing that's special about that team is that, you know, we were able to tell each other the truth and no one took offense to it. You know, so from top to bottom, you know, I can go at Shane that if I feel like he wasn't doing anything, even though he was a senior, and vice versa. Like, it was never any, you know, anybody pointing the fingers or you didn't do that or you didn't do that or anything like that. Everything that we said to each other, we knew that it was coming from a good place.
Yeah.
And that we all had the same goal, which was to win and win a national championship. So we prepared for that all year. You know, kind of got shipped up a little bit when Carlos got hurt. You know, obviously, Boozer was very vital for us, you know, winning, but, you know, a part of our team held down the middle. It was a beast down low for us. So when he got hurt, it kind of shook us a little bit. But Coach K did an amazing job rallying us and just saying, "Hey, man, you believe in me, and you do what I tell you to do. We're gonna win a national championship." Man, we rallied around that, made a few changes, put me in the starting lineup. You know, we changed our style. We already kind of played fast, but we played faster. So we were kind of one of the first ones, I would say, to start really shooting a lot of threes. You know, that's kind of became our game. You know, with, you know, myself, Jay Williams, Mike Dunleavy, you know, and Shane. So we started going up and down, and shooting a lot of threes and, you know, speeding up the game a lot, adding more possessions. And then it gave confidence. I mean, the guys, again, that weren't playing much early, but they stuck with it, kept continuing practicing, and right. They were ready. They were ready to step in when their names were called, and we were able to add some more depth that we, you know, initially we didn't have. And then once, you know, Carlos came back, you know, it was just kind of the icing on the cake. We knew at that point that, you know, there was no other team that was better than us in the country. And, you know, we just continued to make that run and we're able to cut down the net. So, you know, it's all about having a great coach or a great player leadership as well. Like our seniors, like Shane, J.D. Simpson, Nate James. I mean, they really led us and we followed them. And when you have a team that's led by your players, only good things will happen.
100%. Well said. I mean, really, really well said. And that, you know, that sort of sense of community with throughout the team, everyone's looking to pick each other up. There's no negativity. It's all, you guys all have the same goal. It's to win a national championship. You got that done. How much did Coach K play a role in that? I mean, you said earlier that he was obviously an important part of this run and his strategies. How did he, I guess, how did you look up to him? What did he do specifically for you? And obviously we know what he did for the team, but how did he influence you, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, he set the tone, right? You know, he was the living example of that, what we wanted to be as far as, you know, preparation and hard work, holding each other accountable. Right. He held all of us accountable, especially myself, because, you know, just, you know, sometimes you when you're playing, you're thinking that you're doing all you can do. And then he's like, no, I know you can do more, right? So he didn't let you settle with the success that you had. He always wanted you to continue to keep improving and continue to keep getting better, never really getting satisfied of what you were doing. And, you know, that's just kind of how he led us. You know, us being at Duke, we were, you know, the most hated, you know, so everybody wanted to beat us. But we had that mindset that, you know, we knew that coming in and we didn't want that to happen. So we, you know, treated everybody with respect and, you know, we just worried about us running our own race, trying to get better every single game. He was the master at that, master at motivating us for each game and also preparation. Like, I mean, we were completely prepared for every game, every situation. He put a lot of onus on his point guards to, you know, to really basically be a player coach out there. So, you know, we were responsible for knowing how many timeouts, you know, where's the possession arrow, you know, team fouls. So like, you know, all those type of things that, you know, coaches are usually responsible for. His point guards, he made them responsible for that. So, wow. It just helping me learn the game. And also, you know, how to, you know, become a man as well. Like just how he's with his family and with us, he treated us like, you know, his own, you know, was always respectful. And, you know, I'm very appreciative of everything that he taught me.
Wow. One of the greats, you know, just a legend. I mean, just goes down forever in history. And I was actually visiting Duke. Loved it. Saw Krzyzewskiville. Got to go see Cameron Indoor. Incredible, man. I mean, it's just, you know, the environment there is something else.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Wow. That, yeah. I mean,
it's an amazing environment. Did you go to a game?
I wish I would have. I was down to go see UNC versus Duke. So that, you know how that goes. Oh, okay. I know I saw you hit a shot, the game winner there. It was like a reverse layup. I was watching highlights. I really yes, liked it.
Yeah. Awesome.
It was a great, great video. So kind of shifting and segueing into the NBA career. And I got a couple more questions for you. I know you're a busy man, got some stuff to do in your life. So what were some of your highlights in your NBA career? And you know, who are your favorite teammates to play with?
You know, a couple of highlights. You know, I think, you know, kind of going the same journey again. You know, kind of like how my career started. Like, so high school, started on the bench and ended up being the starter, and you know, helping our team win. You know, same in the college level. It was same with the NBA. You know, when I got drafted, you know, started off at the bench in Chicago. We started off 0-9, you know, but we was a very, very young team, you know, trying to figure out the NBA because the game is completely different than what it is in college.
Right.
You know, it's a lot faster. You know, everybody's, you know, big, strong, can jump high, run fast. So, you know, you have to be, you know, really solid fundamentally, you know, both physically and mentally. But then, you know, they put me in the starting lineup after that, and, you know, we went on a run, and we ended up having the third best record on the East, making the playoffs, which the Bulls had missed, you know, since Michael Jordan retired. And, you know, that was a huge accomplishment there. Yeah, I mean, that, you know, I set the Garden assist record, and when I played with the Knicks, I had 22 assists in one game. Wow. You know, the teammate-wise, you know, I was very fortunate. I had a lot of great teammates. I can't even, you know, think of any bad teammates. But, you know, obviously Luol Deng and I played together in college. My senior year was his freshman year. Kirk Heinrich is awesome. You know, Quentin Richardson, Dwight Howard, Jameer Nelson, Vance Carter, Antoine Jameson, you know, Kobe. You know, I've met a world peace, Paul Gasol. Like, I mean, I'm just so fortunate to be around a lot of great people and a lot of different people as well.
Wow. I mean, that list could go on forever. You played with many greats, man. Like, that's incredible. So I also, when I was researching you, for this interview, I saw Jarrett Jack, and you guys are cousins.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, you know, he was obviously an amazing player on the Nets and the Cavaliers. What contribution did he have to your basketball game and vice versa?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was funny because we didn't realize we were cousins until, I want to say, going into my sophomore year in college, he was actually going to high school in North Carolina, Mount Zion.
Wow.
And we played pickup like in the summer. And then it was like, we started talking. I was like, oh, like, you know, that's family and sound. So we made calls back home and then realized that, you know, we were cousins. And then,
oh my
God. Ironically, he ended up going to Georgia Tech. So we got to compete against each other a lot during the ACC. But yeah, I mean, I think once we did that, just, you know, just competing, you know, helping each other out, you know, how family is, how, you know, brothers are, where, you know, you want to beat your brother all the time, but at the same time, you want to, you know, help them get better, and they push you to get better, right? Because you don't want to lose to the younger brother. So being the older cousin, I didn't want to lose to the younger cousin. But then also, when we wasn't playing, you know, I wanted to make sure that he was, you know, playing well, and if there was any way I can help and support, I'll give that support as possible.
Wow. I mean, that the fact that you guys didn't know that you were cousins until a certain point in time when you were a sophomore in college.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And then you guys competed against each other. Just that's really that's one of those things that you just I did not expect that. That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow. So I got three questions for you left, Chris. Thank you so much again. So what was a time that you experienced hardship in your life, and how did you respond?
Oh, man, I mean, it seems like you can go down every year. I mean, I think probably the most for me was, you know, my junior year in college. I didn't have the best year my junior year. And a lot of it was, you know, my fault, you know, just, you know, living the college life, right? You get to college, everyone tells you it's the best experience ever. And, you know, basketball wasn't my number one priority at the time. And then really having a down year personally, you know, understanding that my goal and dream was to, you know, be drafted and be a professional basketball player. And I was letting that slip away, right? And then finally kind of being able to have that look in the mirror look and talk to yourself and what changes you need to make. And, you know, if this is actually a goal of yours, you know, the path that you're going, and, you know, it's not going to happen. And, you know, being able to be honest with myself, I had some great friends that, you know, were also honest with me as well. And, you know, I was able to make the proper changes to make that adjustment, you know, to pursue my goal. And, you know, my senior year, I had a turnaround year. You know, we got to the Final Four, lost in the Final Four, you know, but, you know, was able to, you know, have a great season, you know, make All-American team, finalist for the Wooden Award, things like that. So during that period, being able to, one, be honest with myself, make the proper changes and adjustments, get that tunnel vision, and then, you know, see it come through and work out. You know, that was a good time, a tough time for me, but a great learning experience as well.
Definitely. I mean, I think a lot of people have the same experience where they kind of, they're working at a goal, and they realize, wow, this like partying or doing something else is way easier than actually doing what I want to do, you know, or studying for tests or studying for AP exams. It's a lot easier to not do it and be late and, you know, and be lazy and slack off. But you learn the lesson, you know, you learned, you were like, hey, I got a goal. I got to reach it. I got to do this and I'm going to do this.
Yep.
So I respect the hell out of that. I really do. And like, it's, you know, that takes dedication. That takes honesty, you know, realization.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. And yeah. I'm sure my listeners will love to hear that. Definitely. So I've got two questions left for you. What's the most valuable lesson you've learned from all the experiences you've had, and how does it contribute to your everyday life?
Oh, man. I mean, I think, you know, one of the main things that I've learned is, you know, is to have your priorities in order. You know, that kind of piggybacks off of, you know, what I was just talking about. But, you know, that's also in life, right? So I always make sure, because there's times where even if you're going for something and you're focused and that, you know, you got to make sure your priorities are right. So for me, especially, you know, when, you know, as a husband and as, you know, as a father, you know, my family is very important to me. So I got to make sure that work or other things do not take up time for me spending time with them, right? So that's kind of something I learned, and Coach K, it started with Coach K, basically, you know, prioritizing your life. So for me, it's kind of, it's God first, you know, family, and then, you know, whatever else, you know, comes after that. But making sure you have those priorities set and you understand that, because, you know, a lot of the great people that do stuff, they don't do it alone. You don't do it by yourself. Like, you got to have that great support cast, and people that will tell you the truth at all times, even if it, you know, it may hurt or you may not want to hear the truth. But having that priority was something that was very big for me. That happened both on and off the court, and something that I try to teach, you know, my kids as well.
Wow. I mean, I don't even know how to follow that up. That's a great response. And I mean, priorities in life, you know, like I definitely, as a high schooler, I lose sight of priorities sometimes. And, you know, like, you know, hey, I could go play video games, call my friends, or do this or that. That's not going to matter in 5 years. You know what I mean? I gotta focus on getting into college, doing my thing, contributing and helping with this podcast, you know, and doing community service work and stuff like that. And then there's other stuff that matters over video games, calling friends, social media, Snapchat this, and, you know, Instagram and whatever. So I really understand what you're saying. And I think it's great advice for me too, just to work on myself.
Yeah, and the process is tough, right? Because you may lose out on some fun here and there. You may lose some friends, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, you want to have yourself surrounded by people that are helping you attribute or get to your goals, and not holding you back or bringing you down or distracting you. So, you know, when you surround yourself with people that understand your goals, understand what it takes for you to get there, and they're assisting you and getting to those goals, those are the people you want to keep around.
100%. So my last question for you, what's the most important message that you have to kids out there, little kids that you were once, trying to be in your spot, trying to play an incredible basketball career? How do kids become like you, pretty much?
Oh, man, I think you just got to find, you know, what you're passionate about, what you love, and try to absorb as much knowledge and information about it as possible. You know, I knew I loved basketball, so I was watching as many basketball games as possible, trying to emulate, you know, what others were doing, continuing to work on my craft and get better and better. You know, the mental part watching the games and understanding why, you know, certain players are doing this, or why certain coaches are or doing that, or when to foul, not to foul, or just, you know, again, absorbing and being passionate about, you know, what I love and trying to, you know, be the best at it. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, I think it's just once you figure out what you're passionate about, you know, you got to start getting that tunnel vision and trying to do whatever it takes, you know, for you to be the best person and best player you can be at all times.
Wow. Words of wisdom, Chris. Thank you so much for joining me, man. Like, I can't say anything else. I really appreciate you joining me. And this has been not only eye-opening for me, but I hope, you know, my listeners, and I hope they understand how hard it is to be an athlete, but the dedication and the hard work, it pays off, man. It really does.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you, man. You're doing a great job. So continue to keep up the good work. And if you need anything from me, just let me know.
100%, man. Thank you so much. I'm going to post this interview in a second. I'm going to shout you out on LinkedIn. This was incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, man. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too.
Wow, that was – I'm going to be honest, guys. I think that could be up there for one of the best interviews I've ever done. So that was incredible. And I think just really eye-opening to the idea of playing with Coach K, priorities, family first. And I'm really glad that I got this done today. I know it's been, you know, kind of on and off schedule for podcasting, been very busy junior year of high school, you know, obviously not a breeze. So still working that out. But I appreciate you guys for sticking with me. If you're still at the end of the episode, and I'll see you guys in the next podcast episode. Hope you enjoyed. See you in the next one. Peace out.